Hello, guys, and welcome back to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We're your host, Marcus Sonden, and alongside me is Alexander Brams, as always. Today, we're welcoming a new guest, Aaron Heides, on the podcast. Aaron Heides, previously the national team goalkeeper coach for the US. He was with the national team for 3 years. And then here for the past year, he's been back at the club level, being the goalkeeper coach for Charlotte FC in the MLS. Today, we wanted to talk with Aaron about the difference in being a goalkeeper coach for the national team compared to being a goalkeeper coach for a club team. There is a lot of differences, obviously, and Aaron gives us the insight on that. He talks also about how it's important when you are with the national team to have relations not only with the goalkeeper, but also the goalkeeper coaches out at the clubs, so he can follow the development of the goalkeeper, keep himself up to date, and obviously picking the right goalkeepers for a camp. So, Alex, when we were having Aaron on, we just recorded the episode. What was a few takeaways for you today?
Yeah, I mean, it was some of the preparation for the games as a national team, national goalkeeper coach. It was interesting, and I'm not gonna tell you guys what it was, but the preparation for the games and the difference in training a club goalkeeper versus a national team goalkeeper. And then also, I put in a little question about everybody probably knows him out there, Brad Guzan, the former Villa goalkeeper and now Atlanta United goalkeeper. We talked about him because Aaron used to coach him, so there's some insider, you might say, and all you have to do is just keep listening to this podcast. So we'll see you in there.
Hello, guys. This is the Gloves On podcast. We would like to welcome Aaron Heides to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Current goalkeeper coach with Charlotte in the MLS, previously with the US national team, and we'll talk more about that today. But before we do so, we want to jump into our usual fire questions. So whenever you're ready, we'll jump into it.
Go ahead, guys, fire away.
First of all, gloves on or gloves off?
Oh, on, no question.
Spot on. Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
Of all time, I would say I grew up with two in particular. When you say that, come to mind. I'm an Aston Villa fan, so Nigel Spink. He was the first goalkeeper I watched when I went to my first Villa game, and then sort of as I was a teenager growing up, obviously Mark Bosnich was the goalkeeper then of Aston Villa. So obviously had a particular interest in him.
Love it. And then we jump into favorite goalkeeper you have played with or coached.
Oh, well, I'm getting myself in trouble here. that's a hard one to pin down. I mean, in the last few years, I've been really fortunate to work with some top people. I mean, not just goalkeepers, but people. It'd be a toss up, I think, for me, between sort of Brad Guzan and Matt Turner for one MLS Cup with Brad, and then obviously went to the World Cup with Matt last year. So I'd have to share the honors a little bit.
Love it. Lastly, most important aspect within goalkeeping.
I think it's the mental side. I think it's becoming more and more prominent in the game. I think how you're able to perceive situations, how you're able to manage yourself, I think is becoming more and more important as the game becomes more and more complex.
Spot on. Aaron, before we jump a little bit into your own career, I want to talk a little bit about Matt Turner, obviously, because Alex previously played in college, and I just finished my last season in the US playing college soccer. And obviously, it's well known that Matt Turner used to play in the college soccer system and level. So obviously, now making it into the pro game, being the first goalkeeper for the national team, and the guy you've worked alongside with for quite some time when you were the goalkeeper coach for the national team. I think there is a big step going, obviously, from college into the pro game, and he obviously evolved going into then the Premier League, obviously, as well. Following him alongside that journey with the national team too, what do you think stands out for him and his journey?
Ooh, I think him as a person, first and foremost, I think his demeanor and how he carries himself are exceptional. He never seems to get rattled in any situation. He's always calm and in control of his own actions. I would say that's the first thing. I think the one thing that set him apart from everyone and sort of really made a name for himself was just an elite level shot stopper. And obviously, everyone talks about these days, obviously, shot stopping as a prerequisite for being a high level to playing at the elite level. But I think that the consistency of how well he executed really, really put his name on the map.
Love it. And let's jump a little bit into your career, Aaron. I mentioned shortly in the intro that you were the national team goalkeeper coach for the US for 3 years, and now you've been with Charlotte FC for a year in the MLS. And today's topic is going to be a little bit about the difference in coaching the national team and coaching the goalkeepers on the club team. So can you first of all talk us through a little bit your career and how you ended up being the goalkeeper coach for the US national team, obviously also then going to the World Cup with them, which must have been some experience.
Yeah, I think right back at the start, I think first and foremost, failed as a player, was bounced around, never got anywhere with it. And as most people, an injury steers you in the path of, if you want to stay in the game, then you need to pick a different route, a different way. So really, really got into coaching. Professional wise, obviously, I spent 6 years at Chicago Fire. I actually have worked with the men's national team off and on for 10 years, up until the end of last year, was for 10 years. I was in and around the senior team when Jurgen was the coach. A lot of people maybe remember Chris Woods, goalkeeper for Rangers, Sheffield Wednesday, England. Obviously, when Tim Howard was, you know, predominantly the number one, Chris would be the lead goalkeeper coach for the national team with Jurgen, but there was times where he wouldn't come in, wasn't able to come in for whatever reason with his commitments for Everton at the time. So I tended to step in those moments. So I had a sort of a long experience of working with the senior team for a good number of years. Also worked with a lot of the youth national team age groups. And then I did 3 years in Atlanta when they were an expansion team, obviously won MLS Cup. And then just the last 3 years, started obviously doing the last cycle for the men's national team, did that on a full-time basis. And then obviously in after the World Cup decided that to move on and get back into the day-to-day work. So obviously been in Charlotte for the last year.
Right, because that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, that obviously being the goalkeeper coach for the national team is obviously a full-time job as well, but it's more camps, you know, it's more where you have them for a certain amount of times throughout the year. You have them at tournaments, when you go to the World Cup, when you're preparing for the World Cup, when you have the qualifying games. But then when you have the position as a goalkeeper coach for a club team, then it's year round, you know, it's throughout the league, it's every single day throughout the year. So having this difference, obviously now you can maybe even go into more details with the goalkeepers you have at Charlotte, where when you got the best goalkeepers in the US to a camp for the national team, it's more about getting them prepared for the next game, where now you have a goalkeeper squad at a club. I assume that you then can shape the goalkeepers the way you want it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me with being a national team coach is the relationships. Relationships are paramount because of just the lack of time you have together, but then when you are together, it's intense. So that's probably the most important thing. So establishing good communication with the players out of camp, establishing good relationships with the coaches to get an understanding of where they're at or what's happening and, you know, what they're doing from their perspective. And you know, so then when you're out of camp as a coach, there's just a lot of time you're scouting and then you're preparing for upcoming games. I mean, obviously you have a lot of time to get yourself ready and think about the team's game model, obviously how that impacts the goalkeeper, obviously the rest of the team, and then how you're going to prepare for certain fixtures. And, you know, one of the unique things that happened this cycle was they added teams to CONCACAF. So instead of having 2-game windows, we went with 3-game windows. So that was something obviously no one had ever done before. And when you put sort of, obviously most of the players now are coming from Europe, put that travel on and then having to play 3 games in 7 days, and just managing that became a big challenge of how to best prepare and execute in terms of then getting results.
Right, and as you said, being the national team goalkeeper coach, I would assume it's more work behind the scenes, as you said, preparing for when the goalkeepers then arrive for the camps and for the qualifiers. Where let's then transist into you now being back with a club team, where it's out on the pitch on a daily basis. So, if you don't mind me asking, like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer preparing, or do you prefer being out there on the pitch every single day, because that's what you're doing now again?
I think there's two ways to look at it, right? I think for me, the opportunity to work with the US team, particularly, obviously the country it's a special place for me, and I have, you know, obviously now I have a family here and stuff, so to actually have that opportunity to do that and represent so many people is a great honor. But the one thing that you do know and is the enjoyable thing from that time is just when you get with the players, just their motivation and their willingness and readiness to do the work to try and be successful. So it does make for an enjoyable environment. Obviously the difference when you get into like the day-to-day is enjoyable, is a different type of enjoyment, because you are able to really work with players on a day-to-day basis, able to then obviously really get into a lot of detail in terms of who they are as a goalkeeper, and then obviously how that then is then implemented within a team's game model. So, you know, there's two sides to it a little bit. And obviously I think now, you know, I've come into a situation where obviously I've been given goalkeepers that were here already. And so then it's obviously a different challenge from that in terms of trying to learn who they are, trying to look at sort of what they offer, and then trying to think about things that then, you know, from my side that I feel are important that need to be implemented to help them and then obviously help the team.
Yeah, it makes sense. And do you have any say in who's getting picked for the 3 national team goalkeepers?
Yes, but also at the same time, it kind of picked itself. You know, obviously the one thing you do as a national team coach is you're always scouting. And it's obviously, it's no secret of the lack of playing time the last 3 years for, you know, the players in the pool, particularly those lads that were in Europe. So it's, you know, a case of monitoring them. I mean, again, you do, when you go back to the relationships part of getting on the ground in England or wherever it is to visit players and, you know, and go and see them working in their own environments. That sort of stuff's important so that you do have a good feel for the decisions that you make. You can feel good about that when they come in and they're going to be at a good enough standard to put in performances.
Okay, cool. And I was wondering, do you have any communication with the goalkeepers, coaches in the club? So you can like...
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's...
Tell me about
that. When you talk about relationships, that's one of the key ones. You want to get their perspective. You want to understand what they're doing and why they're doing stuff. because obviously always as a national team, you've got your way you want to play, but obviously sometimes that you can be looking at things and ask questioning how would that fit for our environment. So having a good understanding of that side of things from and conversations with obviously the goalkeeper coaches in their clubs is paramount to being prepared.
Yeah, and have you ever met obstacles like you wanted the goalkeeper to do a certain way, but the club goalkeeper coach wanted it to do another way or the other way around?
No, I don't think so, because I mean, ultimately, they're the ones that get to, I mean, and it's the same for me now, right? I mean, that's like, this is what we do here, and this is how we do things. If the performances are still to the standard that you're looking for, then you have to accept that a little bit, I think, as a national team coach, and just be okay with these are the things, you, as long as you're aware of them. It's again a lot, like you say, you spend a lot of time preparing, so you know, not only are you preparing, so you know, one or two training sessions, because that's really all you've got, where you obviously need to get in a lot of detail into a short period of time, but then it's your messaging, your video sessions, getting those set up in the right way so that you're getting the players up to speed with what they need to know and to be best prepared.
Yeah, really interesting. And how do you work with the diversity in the group when being a national team coach? Because I could imagine, now I'm not too familiar with all the goalkeepers that are with the U.S. men's national team, but I'd say, for example, Spain, it would be Unai Simón, Robert Sanchez, and then either Raya or Kepa or something like that. And there are three different keepers. How are you working with the diversity in the group?
I think first of all, obviously the information you get back from the goalkeeper coaches in the clubs, but then I think then the training sessions that you set up are not maybe as rigid, that they make, you're making them do things that probably that they that you you're going to do over such a short period of time that's going to have no impact. So if you think about that, for me, what that means is that I really need to be conscious of creating situations where they have to make decisions. And decisions based around the opponent, based around our game model. Also, it's important to understand how you can see chances, I think, as a team. So giving them exposure to those situations, and then obviously setting them up so that then they can find the right solution that suits them.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense that you wouldn't go in and do a proper technical session, but more do it situational, like, which is also very modern to do now. And talking about the modern thing to do now, how have you seen the goalkeeper coaching evolve from your beginning to now?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think obviously it adds a lot more pressure to a goalkeeper in terms of where the game's going and what it means for the goalkeeper. But I do think it is better. I think the old days of doing exercises which were to exhaustion, which had no sort of relevance to the game. I think the fact that we've kind of shifted away from that, I think is for the best. I mean, for me, one of the biggest things that I always preach here now in the day to day is thinking about how you understand the game and do you understand the game. And thinking about trying to place that into the context which suits any given situation. I think it's such an important thing. And by doing technical training consistently, how much of that are you really exposing players to? I think it's a question mark. I think obviously there is a space for technical training and it shouldn't get dismissed. But there needs to be some sort of balance between that type of work plus also live action, which best simulates the game and creates opportunities where there are decisions to be made.
Absolutely. I agree. It's for the better now. Growing up, I had goalkeeper coach who were mostly like just technical, not really game situations, which kind of annoyed me, but now the coaching is way better. And when I coach now, I also try to do, you know, scenarios where they have one thing to do and maybe a pass and then a shot and then, yeah, this and that. It's definitely for the better.
Yeah, 100%, because I think different situations create different opportunities. And I think like the important thing, obviously, always in, for a goalkeeper in particular, is picking up relevant information or dismissing information. What is important? What do you need and what don't you need? Because there's a lot of things you can latch onto in any given situation. So I think, you know, as part of coaching, it's creating those moments where then you can get a good understanding about what pieces of information potentially that the players you're working with are picking up to then maybe try and help some of that process so that they can be clearer in certain situations so that then they are more effective when making saves.
Yeah. Amazing. And talking about situations, when you are at Charlotte, do you then sit down with your starting goalkeeper ahead of the game and you go with, hey, this is your against this striker today? For example, the Danish striker from Philly. If you're against him, 9 out of 10 times when he does this, he hits it there. Are you doing stuff like that? Does it make sense what I ask about?
Yeah. I mean, basically trends, right? Yeah, definitely. I think MLS is a league where you can really pick up on certain things, so you can really hone in on them. That in particular, yeah. So I think when I think about the prep work that we do here in terms of getting ready for a game, I think there's the two sides, right? There's the in possession, the out possession. We had a big emphasis in build up from goalkeeper. So obviously preparing them for that in whenever that was during the week. And then obviously then looking at the other side of the out possession stuff in terms of the opponent's threats. And really dialing in on their key players. So yeah, definitely. So you look at any type of player, you know, Uri from Philadelphia Union, Gazdag, all these type of guys. Yeah, I mean, definitely looking for anything where there's a key trend or there's something where you could pick up as a little bit of information that can maybe help them in any given situation. Then yeah, definitely. If there's those opportunities. Definitely.
Yeah, makes sense. And sometimes, of course, most of the time it makes sense to do this. But then sometimes the striker is so smart that maybe he thinks about this, and then the goalkeeper might be leaning 60% to the far post, and then if they get hit near post, do you sometimes think about these risks as to prepare your goalkeeper?
Yeah, but I think the way you just frame that for me would say that you know if you're leaning, like there shouldn't be any leaning involved.
No.
Yeah, you have an idea about in certain situations they favor this, so you have that in the back of your mind, and that's now it's up to you how you use that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never go as far as to say, oh, you it's absolute. Mm-hmm. And I would never also start to suggest that you should edge your bets or start to cheat, because no. I think at any level you'll get caught out.
Yeah, we see that at every level, and that's also what I try to emphasize with my keepers. I tell them, all right, I'm going to shoot the ball there, but still don't go like a second before, because that's not realistic, because you don't know if the winger comes down and puts it across. Sometimes he might hit it wrong and shoot on goal, and then who looks like the idiot? The goalkeeper.
Yeah, but also I think when you talk about stuff like that, I mean, you can't prepare for the what if scenario of somebody potentially, because if you do that, you end up getting into these defensive positions which basically only protect yourself, but mm-hmm. at the same time you get exposed, because if other people don't do their jobs defending situations, then you're still going to concede or you're still going to give up chances or have a ton of work to do in terms of trying to keep the ball out of the back of the net.
Yeah, and a goalkeeper has to be confident and willing to take chances and not just stay on his line and blame the defenders whenever a goal comes in. And there's a few keepers out there who I believe do that and just play the safe card. But yeah, you know, they're out there still playing. I have a curious question with this, changing the subject a bit, but you said you were working with Brad Guzan for a moment, right?
Yeah.
What do you think his key to longevity is, because he's 39 and still playing?
Yeah, I think obviously he just looks after himself tremendously well. I mean, just dedicated to this profession, works incredibly hard. I think the one thing you find as you get older that you have to keep doing stuff, and it's important to keep moving and not have so many sort of down days or rest days. Like the more that you do that, then the harder it is to get going again. And he loves the work, and he never shied away from it. He's come back from an Achilles injury as well in the last couple of years. He's dedicated to his profession, and that's why he's 39 years old and still playing.
Yeah, that's amazing to see, because a previous guest we had on as well, he played until he was 39 as well, and he basically said the same thing, that he had to prepare his body more than the young guys, and had to put that extra work in, not only on the field, but more importantly off the field, in recovery and in all the things. And he even told us, gave us a little bit of insight, that his biggest strength was obviously being very clever, have been in the game for so long, having all this experience, put him above other younger goalkeepers that obviously were more athletic, more agile, quicker on the line, maybe even bigger, stronger, taller. But he had this experience and just calmness in his game, that gave the defense the trust in him as well. And I think that's important, because I haven't been a center back or an outside back myself, but I could imagine that knowing the guy behind me will guide me in the right direction. He will tell me the right things. He'll motivate me the right way, instead of having the young guy in there that's probably more nervous than me. He's trying to prove himself. It gives the defenders more comfort knowing that the guy behind me he's done this before. He might not be, again, the most athletic goalkeeper, but I trust this guy more because of his experience.
Yeah, 100%. I think, obviously, things you touched on there, your positioning. I think as you get older, you lean on those experiences from certain situations, but also, like you say, you have, your presence, your ability to transmit calmness, transmit pressure back onto the opponent. I think there are obviously things that you can use. Tim Howard's, I worked with Timmy, and he was another great example of that as well. It was in his 40s, still playing at the highest level. And had the same thing, his demeanor, the way he carried himself. You would think he was still trying, that it's like these guys still think that they have something to prove. It holds them to the high standards.
Yeah, that's spot on. And something I wanted to talk a little bit about as well, Aaron, is the fact that you've been at all levels. We talked a little bit about you being with the youth national team, then obviously for the last 3 years being with the national team, and now obviously, and also in the past, been working with the club team goalkeepers, so being in all these three different environments, I could imagine is way different. We talked a little bit about the difference on national team to club team, but if we then go back to the youth level a little bit to talk about developing younger goalkeepers, you're not only developing younger goalkeepers, but you working with the best in the nation, obviously the guys that made it to the national team, and they made it for a reason. So I know Alex has coached and is still coaching young goalkeepers. He's currently a goalkeeper coach in Rome as well, and I'm coaching myself too, and that's on a youth level as well. And I could imagine that it's way different coaching young guys compared to coaching developed professional goalkeepers that already is again well developed. So how do you see that? Like how was your experience with these youth goalkeepers? Because again, these are goalkeepers where you can really impact them in a positive way. You can really shape them and see areas where you feel like they can improve. And I could only imagine like that's an amazing opportunity, because then you can say, wow, I helped this guy go from this level to this level, and then again, become this goalkeeper he is today.
Yeah, I think if you're working with goalkeepers in a youth national team setup, I think it's like the almost like the roles are reversed, right? You've identified the player because they're outstanding for their club team, and then you're looking at basically the profile that's set for the national team goalkeeper. This is what we're looking for, and obviously now you're looking at seeing where that player stacks up versus the player profile that you've created, and then from there you should be relaying information back to the player's coaches in terms of here's things that we see, and at the international level here, there's some of the things that should need to be considered in terms of things that should be worked on to help them continue to develop.
Love it. And something I just thought of is in the US, there is a big difference playing college sports and playing club sports. So there is a big, I would say, there is a divide in people that believe that the college route is the right route. And then there is the keepers or the players out there that believes that the club route is the right route, you know. And we've seen that the club level and the focus on clubs in the US is now taking a tremendous step in the right direction. Where back in the days that you, like, college was basically the only route, you know, and as we talked about earlier, Matt Turner took that route. So I know that goalkeepers going to college is mainly 18, 19, some of them 17. So they're already at the level where if they're going to make it, they'll probably be at a club somewhere. But you as working with the youth national team back in the days, and obviously just in the past been with the national team, correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that the attention on the college system isn't the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably the focus has shifted, right, with the landscape of soccer in this country changing like it has with the academy structure, MLS Next Pro. Obviously, the challenge that's presented with college soccer, which is no secret, is just the length of the season and the ability to continuously work and go through that routine of, you know, prepare, play, recover, prepare, play, recover, you know, with all the reviews and that go along with that as well. You lose that over the course of such a short period of time, because you are more at UN once the season starts in college soccer, because we all know it becomes a lot more play, recover. Whereas obviously within MLS Next Pro, it's that adding that platform, I think, enables you to do blocks of training, which is, I think, obviously more important still at that age rather than playing just games. Obviously, the games are vitally important, but the ability, the games to training ratio, obviously, is an important part still when you're still trying to develop. So I think that's where kind of obviously with college soccer is, unfortunately. And I know obviously they're trying to make adjustments and trying to make changes, but obviously it's not as simple as just trying to change things with the structure of the NCAA and whatnot. But hopefully that changes. But I think for goalkeepers, college can still be beneficial because you can get a block of games. And as we all know, usually only one person ever plays. So it can be difficult. So college soccer maybe isn't necessarily the worst thing for a goalkeeper. If you're going into a situation where you can play, you can get those games under your belt. So more so than any position, college soccer can be beneficial at times, depending on your situation.
Right. And I think it was a few years back, whether it's 2, 3, or 4 years ago, it doesn't really matter. But there was a goalkeeper from Division 3 that actually got drafted. So that tells a lot about that. But again, Aaron, that's a whole nother story, a whole nother topic that we can dive into another day. We're coming to an end here of the podcast. But before we say thank you once again, we want to ask you our usual question here on the podcast. So what are your favorite gloves and why?
Ooh. As a kid, Sonderco probably, but these days more Nike. I just wore Nike for so long now. I think they fit the best.
Right, and it's with everything else, it's about comfort, you know, and it's about trusting a glove. So when you get used to something, it's easy just to stick with that, because it is what it is, you know, and that's what you prefer. That's what you prefer. And we get a lot of different answers on the podcast, I feel like, and people are very, very to themselves, you know, in a way of like, everyone is different goalkeeper wise and goalkeeper gloves wise. Everyone is different. And we even have had goalkeeper coaches in the past saying, I coach without gloves, you know, and that's, again, in the five questions, why we have a little fun question asking gloves on or gloves off, because again, we've had a few goalkeepers that prefer wearing no gloves in practice. There was a goalkeeper coach I remember saying, that's because I have a watch on so I can take time and all this and that. So there are so many different approaches out there.
Yeah, and obviously I think sometimes if you had a 20-year career and you wore the same glove for 20 years, why would you change?
Exactly. I mean,
like, that's a comfort. You know what it does, you know where you stand with it and why you're going to deviate away.
100%. And we're coming to an end, unfortunately. It was going to happen eventually, but we thank you so much for taking your time to share a little bit about your career, share your knowledge on the position and your perspective on the goalkeeping position. So we highly appreciate your time today.
Of course, guys. My pleasure. Appreciate it.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.